All right, let's take our Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I hope everyone got a handout this evening. It's going to be more like Sunday school or Wednesday night, but... And Carol, it's good to see you again.
Yes.
Remember, Carol called me last fall and said because it was going to be dark that evening, she wasn't able to be out, but thankfully she's able to be with us again, so... All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read verses 7 through 16 if you'll follow along. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Let's have a word of prayer as we begin this evening. Father, we again thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here to spend time in your word. We thank you for the time we've already had to testify of your work in our lives, to sing praises to you. And Father, as we come to this time now, I pray that you would open our spiritual understanding of your word. Pray that you would teach us the things that we need to know about the gifts that you've given to us, how we can use them, and how we can honor you with them. And Father, I pray that you would use this time to encourage us and challenge us. Pray that you would help me to be clear in what I say, and that you would be honored and glorified in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go through this handout tonight, and I just want to kind of help us to understand the need for spiritual, or the what are spiritual gifts for, why are we given them, and as we go through this, we won't get to that point tonight, but we'll talk about the different spiritual gifts so that you can begin to ask the Lord to help you to understand what your spiritual gift is, and I think we'll see some important things as we study here tonight. But by way of introduction, first thing we see is there's a need in the church of faith in the written word of God, that it is sufficient and complete to guide us in living a victorious Christian life. 2 Timothy 3:16, if you want to just write that reference next to that, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things. What are they? Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Why is that? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so we need to see that the Bible is sufficient to help us to see those things. Secondly, the faith and the truth of God's word brought us to salvation. Okay? When we believe, when we saw that our need for Christ was met through him, or when our need for salvation was met through Christ, that brought us to a point of believing in him. Okay? In the same way, faith in the truth of God's word is also going to help us grow. Let me read, you can write down Colossians 2, verse 6, and these are just a couple of references I just didn't add in there, but Colossians 2, 6 says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." And so we receive Christ by faith, we walk by faith. Okay, we heard that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Let us see, the word of God is our complete revelation, okay? We don't need more revelation. When somebody comes to you and says, "I've got a new revelation," you say, "Whoa, wait a minute." The word of God is our complete revelation. It's all that God has given us and all that we need to live the lives he wants us to live. And so we need to study, comprehend, and appropriate it to live a life pleasing to God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. And then letter D, having trusted Christ as our personal Savior and knowing that we are to walk by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's important as believers that we know and exercise our spiritual gifts for God's glory. Galatians 2:20 is a verse you can write down there. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Galatians 2:20. So let's look at the purpose of spiritual gifts. Okay? The first purpose we see back in Ephesians chapter 4 is for the equipping of the saints. And we see here in verses 7 through 11, we see that gifted men are gifts to the body or to the church for the purpose of preparing all believers for ministry. It says here in verse 8, he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. And so as he left the apostles standing there while he ascended to heaven, they were enabled with the ability to minister to others. They were able to, with the ability to teach others. And so he began at that point, as we have the Holy Spirit, we have the abilities, we have the gifts that we are given. And so those gifts, those gifted men, the apostles, the evangelists, the pastor, teachers, are given to instruct or prepare all believers for ministry. Look at verse 12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that the pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, and teachers, that's their responsibility for perfecting the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Yes, that's partly theirs, but who else is involved in that? We are, as a congregation, as believers in the body of Christ. And what it's saying there, it's kind of like a progression. The gifted men are given to perfect the saints or to teach the saints so they can grow to maturity so that the work of the ministry can be done by those saints so that the body of Christ is built up. Okay? So we're given pastors, teachers, we're given men like that who come in and they instruct, they give teaching, they help us to grow, they help us to understand what we are to do so that we can be equipped to do the work of the ministry. That's where number two comes in. The picture here is of equipping saints, ministering to others inside and outside of the body of Christ. And so you have prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, ministering, teaching those inside and outside of the body of Christ. What is the goal of equipping? It's maturity. It's service for Christ. Okay? As a pastor, my responsibility is not to do everything. My responsibility is to come alongside and help all of us to understand what's our responsibility in the body of Christ. Where are we to serve in the body of Christ? And as we all serve in our respective places in the body of Christ, what happens? The body grows. Now, that doesn't mean the body is going to grow by leaps and bounds numerically, but we grow in spiritual maturity. And so, and I believe as a result of people growing in spiritual maturity, God will grow numerically. But we see here a progression of growing in maturity and in service for Christ. Another purpose of spiritual gifts is for the establishing of believers in a walk of faith. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And Paul talks a lot, of course, in Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians about gifts. He says in Romans 1:11, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And so here we see another purpose is the establishing of believers in a walk of faith. And Paul desires, he says, I want to impart unto you some spiritual gift. I want to share, I want to use my spiritual gift to train you, to instruct you, to help you, to know, to help you to grow. And that idea, as we see here in number two, is the result that they would, is that they would be established. Okay? We ought to always desire to help people grow so that they will be strong in their faith, that they will be settled in their faith, and they will be confident in that. And so that's what Paul is desiring. He says, I want to come and I want to help you be confident in your faith. I want you to be settled in your faith. And then number three here, the establishment will be demonstrated by a walk of faith. And so as these believers in Rome were walking by faith, we're demonstrating that walk, they would see that they are established in their relationship with God. And then number four, Paul was comforted. He says here in verse 12, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And so Paul received a blessing from that as well. Not only did he want to impart, did he want to be a blessing to them, but he received a blessing in return and realized when he realized they were walking by faith. And you know, putting this in a practical picture, you know, I remember when teaching our kids how to ride a bike, and you'd get them on that little bike with the training wheels even, and they'd go down the street and you'd walk, run alongside of them, and they'd go a little ways and boom, down on their side. You'd pick them up, dust them off, and they'd go a little ways and boom, down the other side. Just keep, what was the purpose? Helping them learn, helping them grow, helping them to mature in their ability to ride a bike. But you know what's really exciting? Is when you push them off and all of a sudden you can't keep up with them. And they're taking off down the road and they're just loving it. Unless it's Emily that's taking off down the road. I won't get into that story tonight. That's another story. But then you take the training wheels off. And you see that kid, go, you know how I used to do, you get alongside of a step, and you get on your bike, and then you take off, and you just get off, and you take off down the street or whatever on your bike, and you just look, well, that's great. They're learning, they're growing, they're maturing in their abilities. And Paul says, I'm encouraged when I see you walking by faith. I'm encouraged when I see that you're demonstrating that you are established in the faith. And so Paul wanted to impart that he wanted to use his spiritual gifts to help them develop their spiritual gifts. And that passage parallels Ephesians 4 that we just read, where you have gifted men who will help others to grow and understand their gifts and their abilities. Letter C, spiritual gifts are essential to the health of the body of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. It says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so we are gifted members one of another in the body of Christ, and we are to exercise our gifts. Why? For the good of others. Okay, we're to exercise those gifts to help others. And we, each one of us, and we'll look at this in a little bit, each one of us is a gifted believer. Okay, and we'll look at how many gifts or what gifts we have. Letter number two, 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, all members are gifted, all members are necessary, and function as a gift. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for the body, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And so all members are gifted. Every one of us has a gift, or more. But all members are necessary and function as a unit. And God has placed us here in the body of Christ to function together. And then we see in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 19, that the body is edified or built up, exhorted, consoled through the through the use of spiritual gifts. And in this one in particular, it's talking about the gift of tongues. But it's talking about how people can be built up and edified through this particular gift. And so we see here that's another purpose. It's the spiritual gifts are important to the health of the body of Christ. And then letter D, we see spiritual gifts were a sign. If you look at 1 Corinthians 14 again, we should probably still be there. But verse 20, they were a sign of impending judgment to unbelieving Israel. It says here, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And so, first of all, the sign, the gifts were assigned to unbelieving Israel. Secondly, there were a sign of, or a confirmation of genuine apostleship. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, 12. It says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs, and wonders and mighty deeds. And so one of the things that confirmed that one of the disciples had become an apostle was in the signs that they were able to execute or exercise. And so that is one indication or confirmation of the disciples of apostleship. And then finally, the confirmation of true revelation from God. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. We see a confirmation of true revelation. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect not, or if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And so God bore witness of those things that they were taught, that these were revelations from him. These were truths from him. So what is the purpose of spiritual gifts personally? How do we know that it helps us personally? Well, it first helps us to determine God's will. And in 1 Timothy 3:1, it says, if a man desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And so if a man has that gift of pastor-teacher, he desires a good work. If he recognizes that God has given him that ability, that gift, then helps him to determine God's direction for his life. Secondly, it encourages us as we see God working through us to meet other people's needs. That goes back to the passage we read in Romans 1, where Paul said, I'm encouraged, or I'm comforted by you, by your faith. He was comforted when he saw the maturity in believers. And so when we're able to see that we're able to use that gift to meet someone's need, it's an encouragement to us. You know, it's nice when you can do something to fix something in yourself or do something to meet your own need, but when you're able to reach out and use that to meet somebody else's need, and you see that they're encouraged, that they're edified, that they're comforted or whatever, and it comes back as an encouragement to you that you were able to help them. And then also it's a benefit when we ourselves are in need. When we see others come to our side and we see others come along and say, how can I help? We see somebody who has a gift of service. We have somebody who has the gift of helps that comes alongside, or somebody who has the gift of exhortation that comes along and says, can I help you with something here? Can I help you understand something from God's word? And we see those things, it helps us as well when we have a need. But we see letter F, that a wrong understanding can lead to grievous error. And we look at 1 Corinthians 12:14 and talks 12 through 14. It talks about the gifts. It talks about 1 Corinthians 13 talks about charity and how that is some way we can express toward others as well. And then 1 Corinthians 14 talks about the gift of tongues and how it can be used well and how it can be abused. Gifts can be abused. First of all, we see in 1 Corinthians 14, and we just looked at that, but gifts can bring confusion. So if you have somebody that comes into your church and they're speaking in tongues, and this was back when tongues was used in Bible times, they would come into an assembly and they were to speak in tongues, but there was nobody there to interpret, what does it sound like? If we were to have somebody come up here this evening and speak and preach a message in Japanese, and there was no interpreter, we'd all walk on there and was like, okay, I didn't get anything out of that. That was no good for me. That didn't help me at all. But if there was somebody who came up here and spoke in Japanese, and over here we had a man who was interpreting for him, and God was able to use his word because we understood it, then that gift of preaching is able to go forward. That gift is able to be used for God's glory. But gifts can bring confusion if they're not used properly. Gifts can also be abused for personal gain. One example is modern faith healers. These guys who think they have the gift of healing. And so they go around and have these huge gatherings and they smack somebody on the forehead. You're healed! Well, you're not healed. You just got a big spot in your forehead now. You know, it's an abusing something that God has given you. God has not intended for us to use our spiritual gifts for our personal gain, for our personal profit. They do come back and they're a blessing as we use them, but it's not so that we intended to use it for our own profit. And then number two, gifts can be imitated by Satan. This is interesting. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. It says, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's talking about the Holy Spirit restraining. He said, but the mystery of iniquity doth already work. There's already evil. Only he who now letteth will let. The Holy Spirit, he says, he will be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Do you think in the end times that Satan is going to try to deceive through miracles and signs and all those things? Absolutely. Because what's going to happen? People are going to say, oh, that must be of God. And they're going to follow that. You know, it happens today. The devil deceives through signs. And people say, wow, look at that miracle. It was a miracle. It was a counterfeit by Satan. So we have to be careful. Because Satan can imitate gifts. And then number three, a wrong understanding of gifts can stunt spiritual growth. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about, starts by talking about being carnal. Paul says, I wish I could give you more truth. I wish I could help you understand truth more, but you can't because you're babes in Christ. You're carnal and you don't have that understanding. And so they weren't able to use their gifts that they had because they didn't understand basic truths. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then we see in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 15 that the neglect of our spiritual gifts will result in loss of reward. There's going to come a day when we're going to be judged according to what we have done with what God has given us. In verse 15 it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So our works shall be tried by fire. If there are works that are done for God, they're going to last. If there are works that are done just for ourselves, they're going to be burned up. They're going to be wood, hay, and stubble. And so neglecting our gifts and using them properly will cause a loss of reward. Next, back on the next sheet, let's go to that. The definition of spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts not? What are they not? First of all, they're not singular. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how every one of us is given gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay? There's all kinds of gifts. God hasn't given every one of us the gift of service. God hasn't given everyone the gift of teaching. Okay? Some of us, he's given it, some of us, he hasn't. You know what? It's okay. It's okay that some of us don't have different gifts. But God has given each one of us the gifts that he knows that we can use for his glory. And if you read, like I said, you read 1 Corinthians 14, you can get the idea, well, there's only one gift. That's the gift of tongues. No, that's just an illustration of how that gift is used, can be used properly or improperly. And so they're not singular. There's not just one gift. And then number two, they are not talents. Look at this, these comparisons here between talents and gifts. Talents are from God or through parents. They come from God through our parents. In other words, my children have abilities with music. That could be because they grew up in a home where mom and I both have musical ability. Okay? It could be something that God just allowed to pass down, okay? And able to use those. Now, does God use our talents for us to minister to others? Sure he is, okay? Not everybody has that particular ability, okay? But a gift is from the Holy Spirit. A gift is something we're given at a particular time in our lives, that salvation, from the Holy Spirit. You ask an unbeliever, could you stand up and preach a message? No. And you ask a believer, could you stand up and preach a message? Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe somebody says, well, God, I believe, has given me that ability or given me that gift to teach or preach. Okay. But even then, we'll talk about how those things have to be developed. Okay. A talent is through natural birth. Okay. A gift is through spiritual birth. A talent is a physical ability, again, like music, like good with math. Are you good with math? Maybe one of your parents was good with math. Are you good with cooking. Maybe one of your parents is good with cooking. Different things, those are talents. But a spiritual ability is different than that. We'll look at some of those. Talents are recognized, are developed, and exercised. You know what? Gifts are the same way. They're recognized, they're developed, and they're exercised. And also talents, the unsaved have talents. Do you see anybody that's unbelievers have musical abilities? Have abilities to cook, have abilities to organize, have different abilities like that? Sure. But do you see unbelievers who have the ability to preach and to minister and to serve and glorify God? No, those are abilities that only believers have. Unbelievers don't have spiritual gifts. Number three, we see here they're not an office. Occupying the office doesn't indicate the gift. And you may have heard this illustration. Just because you're in an office doesn't mean you have the ability, a gift to be in that office. Just because a man is standing in this pulpit doesn't mean God has given him the gift of being a pastor teacher, because there's men who will force that and try to become a pastor teacher. Or maybe some will force being an evangelist. Now, the other side of that is if a man is standing in this place, he better have the gift of being a pastor teacher. Okay, that is absolutely necessary. Okay, but it doesn't mean just because I go stand in my garage, that doesn't make me a car. Okay, I can go sit in my refrigerator, it doesn't make me a gallon of milk. Okay, just because I'm standing here doesn't mean I have the gift, but if I'm standing here, I better. Okay, so it's not necessarily an office. And because another thing we see here is the gift may be exercised outside of the office. Okay, a woman, God has not given that woman the responsibility to be up here preaching. But that woman may go to her neighbor and be able to share the gospel with her, be able to sit down and share God's word with her, be able to teach her from God's word. Okay, is that just as important gift as standing up here? Sure it is. Okay, so it can be exercised outside of an office, outside of a official responsibility. Fourthly, they're not a ministry. Okay, a spiritual gift is not a ministry. The ministry is the arena where those spiritual gifts are used. Okay, if somebody has the gift of being a teacher, a Sunday school class is the arena or the ministry where they can exercise that spiritual gift. Okay, or joy clubs or an adult Sunday school class or whatever, but the ministry is the arena that the gift is exercised. And then they're not the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, let's see the difference here between the fruit and gift. First of all, the fruit deals with character. Okay, the gift deals with service. A fruit is a desired end, and the desired end is Christ-likeness. But the gift is a means to the desired end in others. Okay, we grow in our service. We grow in the abilities that God has given us. But it's a means to that maturity. It's a means to serve others. And so it's not the desired end, because that desired end is what? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is what a person is, okay? The things that I demonstrate on my life are what I am, okay? But a gift is what a person has, or an enablement, okay? You can often tell what a person is by watching them. Can you always tell the abilities they have by looking at them? No. Sometimes it surprises us, but a gift is an enablement. It's the ability to do something. A fruit is produced within by the Spirit. We looked at that before in the last few weeks, how it's the Holy Spirit that does the work in our hearts. He's the one that produces the fruit as we yield ourselves to Him. Okay, the gift is bestowed from without by the Spirit. Okay, that's something the Holy Spirit gives us at salvation. He gives us that ability. And the clock is going berserk again. I'm going to find the manual on that one.
It's just daylight.
Yeah. It'll get there. We'll stop when it gets to 7. Maybe. Then we see fruit is all should be evident. The fruit of the Spirit should be evident in our lives. Okay, the love, the joy, the peace, long-suffering. All those things should be evident in our lives as we relate to others. But gifts, not all gifts are evident in our lives, because not every believer has every gift. Okay? And then the fruit lasts through eternity, whereas the gifts will cease. You know, there will come a time where we will no longer need to have our spiritual gifts. We'll be in heaven, and we'll be worshiping. We'll be at Jesus' feet. We aren't serving others at that point. Okay? So a whole different setting. And so gifts will cease. What are the gifts? Letter B, what are the gifts? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So what do we see here? There are gifts that are things characterized or controlled by the Spirit. Okay, they're spiritual gifts. They're not physical gifts. They're not mental gifts, emotional gifts. They're spiritual gifts. They're things given by the Holy Spirit. Then we go to Romans chapter 12. We emphasize this a little more. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. It says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." Okay? And so, they're grace gifts. They're given to us by grace. They're not something we have earned, not something we've worked for. They're gifts. Let me share some definitions with you. Definitions is, first of all, a special qualification granted by the Spirit to every believer to empower him to serve within the framework of the body of Christ. And so God has equipped us to serve in the body of Christ, and that gift is given by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, a divinely ordained spiritual ability through which Christ enables his church to execute its task on earth. And then special abilities given by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to his will for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. And then extraordinary endowments bestowed by the Holy Spirit sovereignly and undeservedly on believers as instruments for Christian service and church edification. And then lastly, a divine endowment of a special ability for service upon a member of the body of Christ. Let's finish this point and then we'll stop there tonight. I see it's after 6, actually it's after 7, but anyway. Characteristics of what a gift is. First of all, the source. What's the source of the Holy Spirit? What have we said already? Who's the one that gives the Holy spiritual gifts? Pretended Sunday school. Who gives spiritual gifts? The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. Okay? We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Let me read that for you real quick here. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So the Holy Spirit gives the gifts. Unsaved people do not have spiritual gifts because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And we see that in Romans 8, 9, 1 Corinthians 2, 14. Okay? They can't have spiritual gifts. They don't have the Holy Spirit. What is the essence of characteristics? An ability, or it's a capacity to do some service for God. Okay? Before we're saved, we don't have that capacity. We don't have that ability to serve God. Okay? We're given that at salvation. What is the purpose, or what is the characteristic of purpose to function effectively and significantly in a particular service? Who are the recipients? We see in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 5, Colossians 1, it talks about the church. Christ perfects his saints. He perfects the church. The recipients are the members of the body of Christ. That's all believers who are part of the church. Number 5, what are the implications of being gifted? First of all, there is ability. Inherent in the concept of spiritual gifts is the idea of ability. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10 is one of those verses listed there. It says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet, but not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Okay? That grace, that gift that Paul had was what? It was bestowed upon him. It wasn't something he earned. It wasn't something he deserved. But he labored in that gift in order to be serving God. So there's the ability that comes with a gift. Secondly, there's a qualification. Okay? One is qualified to serve in a specific way because she or he has a specific gift. We talked about being a teacher. Okay. When we look at Sunday school teachers, okay, does that person have the gift of teaching? Okay, it's important to have the gift of teaching in that capacity. If God has given you the gift of serving, God has given you the gift of helps, God has given you the gift of ministering in another way, we'll look at all those gifts, that means you're qualified to do that. Okay? The gifts need to be developed and matured. We need to grow in those abilities. But you don't give a new believer the responsibility to teach an adult Sunday school class. Okay? They may have the gift of teaching, but if they trust Christ and they realize God has given that ability or that desire to teach and the ability to teach, you don't go throw them into teaching an adult Sunday school class right away. You're careful about any Sunday school class you have to put them into. They need to grow. They need to develop that gift. But they have the characteristic. They have the qualification to teach or to minister in that way. Another implication is strength. Okay, we talked about this a little bit in the past weeks about the Holy Spirit. The only way that we're going to be able to do something is through the power of the Holy Spirit. But when we have the Holy Spirit within us, what does that tell us? We have the resource at our disposal. We have the strength of the Holy Spirit at our disposal to use for His service. And so that we have strength, we have the divine enablement to endure faithfully and diligently. I thought this was an interesting comment. Spiritual gifts do not retire. Okay? Somebody reaches 65 or 72 and they say, oh, I'm done. I'm going to just sit back and relax and not do anything. Spiritual gifts don't retire. Okay, we can continue to use them. And I've seen men who are in their 70s and upwards of 80s teaching Sunday school classes. That's great. Continue to use them as long as you can. As long as the Lord gives you physical ability to stand or to do whatever you need to do to exercise that spiritual ability, a spiritual gift, use it. Use it as long as you can. Another implication is responsibility. We are responsible and accountable for how we use, misuse, or don't use our spiritual gifts. And we'll look at this more later, but if we don't use it, we may lose it. And so we need to use it, we need to develop it, we need to grow in that spiritual gift, we need to use it to minister to others. And if we're given the gift, we need to use it. And God will give us the ability to use it, He'll give us the strength, He'll give us what we need to use that gift. He's not going to give us something and not give us the enablement to use it. So, all right, let's pray. Father, we thank You that You entrust to us certain gifts. Father, we know that You have given each one of us at least one gift. We thank You that You have given us those things. Father, help us to understand as we go through these things, help us to understand what our gifts are. Because that's the only way that the body of Christ is going to be spiritually edified. Father, that's the only way that we can be unified, is each one of us is using our spiritual gifts. Pray You give us understanding in these things. You encourage us with these things, knowing that we have something that we can do for You. In Jesus' name, amen.